You are Locked On Knicks, your daily podcast on the New York Knicks. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team, every day.
Welcome, everybody, to Locked On Knicks, the podcast that's in the 99th percentile of people who can't stand Mark Jackson's announcing. Come on, Mark. Stop talking about how Lonzo Ball isn't as good as Magic Johnson. It's one point. How many times do you need to make it? I'm your host, James Masita, a.k.a. Kristaps Busta Rhymes smash hit. Give me some more Zingas, a.k.a. Kristaps J'adore Zingas. And this is episode 223. On today's show, we're going to give you guys an instant breakdown of the Knicks' thrilling 113-109 victory over Lonzo Ball, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, Luke Walton's dumb face, and the rest of the Los Angeles Lakers. That breakdown will include thoughts on various things. Kristaps Porzingis' dominating performance. The overall weirdness of this game. It was a very strange one. Nilakina's improving offense. Michael Beasley's shockingly clutch play. And much more. Let's start the show.
Yes!
So the Knicks beat the Lakers 113-109 in overtime on Tuesday night. And it really felt like this was 100% Kristaps. All discussion has to begin and end with Kristaps when we're talking about this game. Some other guys contributed, but he was like their offense tonight. And when I say he was their offense, I mean it. No other Knicks scored 15 points. He was the only Knick to break the 15-point plateau. But luckily, he scored a shit ton of points. He scored 37 points. Kristaps scored 37 points on 14 of 26 shooting. That's better than 50% where I'm sitting. Pretty good. Including 5 for 8 from 3. That's right. 5 for 8 from downtown for the 7-foot-3 unicorn. That was a career-high 5 three-pointers, which feels impossible. I'm like, hasn't he had a game where he scored, where he's made like 75 three-pointers already? But it also feels true. I'm like, all right, that's a lot. 5's a ton. I'll say this. It'll be the first of many 5 three-point games for Porzingis. I'm going to predict now that his career-high will be 10 three-pointers. You'll probably get that during his record-breaking scoring night at Madison Square Garden, because he will break Carmelo Anthony's record at some point. Kristaps Porzingis was also 4-for-5 from the line. And this brings up really the only thing that I could nitpick about this tremendous performance. And I'll preempt this by saying I'm an asshole for even nitpicking. But that being said, it did feel like half of his misses were him trying to get foul calls, when he should have just been like going up strong or just shooting the shot. It felt like he was getting a little hardeny trying to draw the foul, and he could have just like been trying to make the basket. I know, I'm a nitpicky monster, but it's how I feel. It's how I feel. Like I said, I want him to break that Garden scoring record, and if he's going to do that, he's got to shore up some of this shit. That's all I'm saying. Chop, chop, crispy. And this really speaks to the one overarching negative performance for the Knicks offense as a whole in this game. I don't think it was just Kristaps, but it was the lack of passing. You know, Kristaps was a beast. Let me reiterate. An absolute beast. And we'll get into more of his beastliness in a moment. But we didn't see a lot of passing coming out of him. We didn't see a lot of passing from the Knicks. They somehow had 25 assists, but a big part of that was Jack pulling 10 out of his ass out of nowhere. But there were way too many black hole possessions and breakdowns, like I said, both from Crispy and Cantor, and even trying to establish Lance a few times at the elbow, which was driving me crazy, forcing this like bullshit triangle action. guys just weren't moving the ball as well as they have in the past. In the end, their assists didn't show that, but if you watch the game, there's a lot of one-on-one play. Not great. Kristaps was part of that, but he was the only guy who could score, so I can't really blame him. More good Kristaps stuff. He had 4 of the Knicks' 14 overtime points. Only 3 Knicks scored in overtime. 4 points from Kristaps. All of them clutch. 4 points from Doug McDermott, getting big clutch minutes again. He played the entire overtime. And I gotta give him props. I know this is crispy segment right now, but I gotta give props to Beasley. He had 6 overtime points. He had the most points in overtime. He made all 3 of his shots, including a huge offensive rebound tip to break a 103-103 tie. The Knicks really struggled to score in this game, and his one-on-one abilities, such as they are, were valuable. I mean, I understand that Timmy's out, and they're doing what they can, but these starting lineups with Lance, man, there's just not enough offense. I mean, when Kristaps was out and Beasley was in, there was not enough defense. I don't think Beasley's the answer while Timmy's out, but I don't know. Maybe start him at 3 in the next game. let's see what happens. Here's what he did on the night. He had 13 points on 6 of 13 shooting, including 2 of 3 from the line. He had 5 rebounds, including 3 offensive. Only 1 turnover, only 1 foul in 22 minutes of play, and he had 1 steal. So, you know, I like to think that my criticism of Beasley has spurred him to greatness. It's not true, but I like to think that. Let's get back to Crispy for a little bit. Told you how many points he scored, 37. He also had 11 rebounds, which was tremendous to see. I haven't faulted him that much for not getting rebounds this season because he's upped his usage percentage so much. He's been doing so much on offense. He's been getting tons of blocks. He's been altering tons of shots when he's not getting blocks. The Knicks' defense is running so much smoother when he's on the court. The Knicks' offense is getting so much smoother when he's on the court. But I would like to see him rebound a little bit more. I'm not going to spend any time complaining about it. But he's 7-3. I'd like to see a couple more rebounds. And he got 11 in this game, so tremendous. Even more tremendous. Tremendously tremendous. He had 5 blocks. An outstanding number for any one game. And when you put it all together, Kristaps Porzingis, this comes from Tommy Beer, this stat. At least that's who I've seen credited with. I don't know where he stole it from, but, you know. Kristaps Porzingis is the first Knick with at least 35 points, 10 rebounds, and 5 blocks in a game since Patrick Ewing in 1996. 35 points, 10 rebounds, 5 blocks. First Knick to do that since 1996. That's excellent. But no player in the NBA has ever scored 35 points, grabbed 10 rebounds, had 5 blocks, and hit 5 three-pointers in the same game. Kristaps Porzingis is the first player to ever do that in the NBA in all the games that have been played. I mean, so the main takeaway here is it was interesting watching this game. He was unbelievably dominant, and I felt like he could have been so much better. Like, I really do. It didn't even feel like he was playing close to his best. Like, I'm not sure. I like to think I have a good imagination, but I'm not sure I can imagine what Kristaps will be capable of 3-4 years from now, because you know he's going to keep improving. It's amazing. It's really difficult to talk about because it's amazing. And when he does incredible things, it seems mundane. Like, before I read some of these stats on Twitter and various sources after the game, I was like, oh yeah, that was an excellent game from Kristaps. But he forced a little bit. You know, the Knicks' offense was terrible in general. And then you look back on what he's done, and it's just incredible. You know, so the Knicks won this game by 4. He was +5. This was a high... they really rode him in this one, like Secretariat, to quote a former Knick legend. He played 40 minutes, Crispy, in this game, which is the most minutes he's played all year. Their next game is Thursday against the Nets, so maybe don't run him into the ground, Horny. I mean, you've been good at that this season. I'm not criticizing you, but try to keep his minutes down on Thursday. I don't want to see him play big minutes after playing big minutes. When you start stacking him up, that's like when Derrick Rose starts tearing ACLs, when you start doing your Thibodeau shit and like playing him a bunch of minutes, a bunch of games in a row. So I'd like to see his minutes cut down a bunch on Thursday, especially because I want him at full strength to demolish the Thunder when they come to town on Saturday and just, you know, revel in that petty shit. I want to talk about how weird this game was, because it was a very weird game. I want to talk about Frank's offensive explosion, and I want to talk about overtime. But first, I got to talk to fantasy sports fans. Listen up, you guys and gals. Did you know that your chances of winning on draft are 80% better than on salary cap sites? It's true, and that's why draft is my favorite fantasy site. No more getting crushed by the pros. And it's not just me. More than 1 million people have already downloaded Draft. You can play in a real live NBA draft right now, right this second. Be done in under 5 minutes. You don't research it for 10 years. And get paid out the next day. Not 7 weeks from now. Drafts fill up every second, so you can join one whenever you want. All new players get a free entry into a real, actual money draft. All you gotta do is make your first deposit and use my promo code LONIX. That's right, I'm not lying to you. Playing a real money draft for free just by using my promo code LONIX. But it gets even better. I know you're like, this is as good as it gets. You're wrong, it gets better. Draft is so sure that you'll love it. They're offering Locked On Knicks listeners a money back guarantee up to $100. You could blow $100 and then be like, you know what, this is bullshit. I want my money back. And they'll give it to you. You'll be a dishonest, you know, real scumbag, but they'll do it. Because they're operating in good faith. Just search Draft in your app store or go to draft.com and come play for free right now with promo code LOCKEDONKNICKS. This was a weird-ass game. About like halfway through the quarter, I was like, the third quarter, I was like, this is a weird-ass game. And I'm trying to get my head around like what was so weird about it. I just have a collection of weird things, so bear with me. One of them is there were 20 lead changes, and the game was tied 17 times. I don't have any percentile information on that, unfortunately. Shame on NBA.com/stats. But that seems like a lot, right? So it's there's a lot going on there. Another weird thing, Lonzo Ball was 3-for-6 from 3. I think he'll be fine as a shooter. You guys know I actually really like Lonzo Ball as a player. I think he's going to be outstanding. But he's been especially bad from three this year, shooting 25.8%. All over, he's been bad with his shooting. He's shooting even worse than that number. He's shooting 48.6% from the free throw line. Truly terrible. And 32.7% from the field in general. So that was like spooky scary. And he was part of a third quarter duel with Kristaps Porzingis. And the Knicks in general, there were like 1,000 possessions roughly in a row where both teams were just running down cannon shots, running down cannon shots. And Lonzo Ball was a big part of that. There was no defense played by either team. Like I said, Lonzo and Kristaps were just going back and forth, back and forth. Magic Johnson, who was in attendance, you know, that's not weird, but was imploring the crowd to cheer the exciting basketball. And it was like, come on, this is great basketball. Which, it was very entertaining, but it wasn't great basketball. Let's be honest here. Also, part of this whole weird exchange, LeVar Ball and Spike Lee were, like, high-fiving each other. And LeVar Ball, he was dancing around courtside while Lonzo was going off. Lonzo had a... He didn't really sun Porzingis, but he sunned the Knicks in general with a ferocious alley-oop slam. I mean, it was really impressive. And while this was going on, LeVar Ball was dancing around courtside. He's a clown, you know, but here's what I gotta say. He's a clown, but that's his son. Like, I get to yell and scream about these guys on my podcast. I've got no relation to them. And this guy can't sit courtside and jump up and down about his son? You know, while I was watching it happen, I wanted to fucking kill a guy, you know? If I were in the garden, I might have tackled him. I don't know. I can't control my emotions sometimes. That's hospitaliano. But afterward, I respected his right to clown around. I don't know. And I liked seeing, what's his face, Spike Lee, like, high-five him and shit. It didn't bother me. If the Knicks lost, yeah, it might be a different story. Might be calling for his head on the top of the Empire State Building. But for now, me and LeVar Ball, we're cool. Other weird things in this game. jump balls. I couldn't find a stat on this, but it felt like there were 700 jump balls. It was a game of like things that you felt to be true not being true. It felt like the Lakers could not miss. Like they were just draining shot after shot. But they actually kind of played like shit on offense. Their effective field goal percentage was bad. They missed a lot of shots. They shot 48.6% from the field, effective field goal percentage. That's 26th percentile for all games played. So that was strange. There was a lot of physicality, and usually the Knicks are on the right side of this, but it felt like they were getting beasted by the Lakers. Like, it just felt like the Knicks were getting ruthlessly bodied, like, most of the game. Yet, they only had three less rebounds than the Lakers, 52-49, but they usually are on the positive side of that ledger. So that was more spooky, scary stuff. I don't know, but maybe this is just what it feels like to get out-rebounded. I'm not used to it this year. There were 20-0 rebounds by the Lakers to 15 by the Knicks. That's also very odd. Speaking of offensive rebounds, can't speak of those without speaking about Enes Kanter. He got 26 minutes in this one, but only 10 in the second half, all of them coming in the third quarter. And he looks like he's hurting, you know. I feel like maybe they should rest him more, but I don't know exactly what's going on behind the scenes, so it's tough to say. But I want to say that it looks like he's hurting, and I think he should probably get some fewer minutes. That being said, the Knicks were in the process of getting beasted with some physicality. The Lakers' defense was like largely swarming in this game, I got to say. Like the Knicks, they struggle without Hardaway to generate offense just relying on Kristaps, clearly. But the Lakers' defense, they were, you know, Walton had them playing hard. They were all over the Knicks. But the tide kind of turned. The Knicks were down by, I think, 10. And Enes Kanter just, like, offensive fouled Larry Nance Jr., like, into the ground. Like, 6 feet down into the ground. And it was so blatant, but I felt like the way the Lakers were being physical, like I said, I don't advocate violence, but I was kind of happy that Kanter laid the guy out. Maybe he wants to bite someone's ear off. I don't know. I'm just saying. So even though I'm like, he needs to sit, he's hurt, his physicality was important to the Knicks, and I think really helped them snap out of it in the first half and help them close the gap before the first half ended. They ended down by a point. More weirdness. Amari Stoudemire was in attendance, and he did a countdown from 5 to 1 in order to light the first candle, so to speak, on a video menorah that they put up on the Jumbotron at the Garden, while a cheesy rendition of Hava Nagila played in the background. Like a real klezmer banded out, you know, clarinet Hava Nagila. It felt mildly disrespectful, like they were trying to make it as silly as possible. I don't know, not really for me to say. But it added to the weird vibe that Amari was there, looking like he was auditioning for a role on A Different World, being the guy to do the first ceremonial countdown for the video menorah. I don't know. It was bizarre, but La Vita really è bella sometimes. You know what I'm saying? One last, like, weird thing, although I'm sure I'm forgetting some stuff. Courtney Lee had the highest plus-minus on the Knicks at plus 11, but he looked, like, all over the place to me. He started off strong, but then, like, made a couple of boneheaded plays, and it culminated with him, like, really sunning himself almost to death on a fast break in the fourth quarter after he stole the ball, and he was wide open for a layup or dunk, but then he lost the ball off himself and it rocketed out of bounds 1,000 feet. He was just flying around. It was like he wasn't in the zone. He was moving too fast today in a way that like he wasn't in control. He's been playing fast and in control today. He was fast and aggressive, but not in control. He just like didn't. He wasn't like the game wasn't Matrix slowing down for Courtney Lee today. But he like pulled a bunch of good plays out of his ass throughout the game. So I don't know. More weird stuff. Weird, wild, wacky stuff. I want to talk about Frank's offensive explosion. I want to talk about overtime. But first, just want to remind you guys, you're listening to Locked On Knicks, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. If you like what you hear, head on over to iTunes and rate us 5 stars. Every 5-star rating counts. Thank you very much. This is Locked On Knicks. Let's talk about Frank Ntilikina's offensive explosion. Frankie Strokes scored a career-high 13 points on 5 of 11 from the field, including a beautiful 3-for-4 from beyond the arc. Told you guys his three-point shot was coming around past 10 games, shooting it well. His stroke has looked good to me. Frankie strokes all along. But he didn't just score. He had 5 rebounds, 5 assists, and 1 steal in 29 minutes of gutty clutch play. Now, I just said he scored 13 points. 7 of those points came in the fourth quarter. He had a huge fourth quarter for the Knicks. He had 4 assists, 2 rebounds also in that quarter. And he's got a way of stepping up in the clutch. I'm glad to see him back playing in fourth quarters. Jarrett Jack, he had 10 assists, like I said before, but he was like sloppy and kind of out of it in the first quarter, too. It just wasn't a sharp game from him, even though he did some nice things. I'm not going to get on him too much. 34-year-old Jarrett Jack is doing great, but not his best game. Frank stepped up, especially in the fourth quarter, and he was huge for them. Shouts to Frank. He really showed out. He came through down the clutch where Lonzo didn't necessarily. Now, I've mentioned this a couple times. It was an overtime game. It was the Knicks' first overtime game of the season. And they won it, which was a good sign. They definitely did not poop their diaper. Like I said, against the Hawks, you know. In this stage of development, you can't necessarily expect the Knicks to like win every game they should by a lot. Sometimes it's just enough to win it. And they won the game against inferior but like really feisty Lakers team. They came to play. They weren't ready to roll over for the Knicks. They don't have, you know, the talent of a Porzingis, but they've got a lot of like decent players, like Caldwell Pope. Fuck him. Like, I'm Team Hardaway, but like, he's not terrible. Lonzo Ball, I think, is good. Kuzma played great. Jordan Clarkson played well for them. Brandon Ingram got sunned to death, unfortunately, by Porzingis early a couple times, and he was only 2-for-12 on the game. But Julius Randle played well. You know, they've got some good players, and the Knicks pulled it out. In overtime, the Lakers went a little bit cold, but the Knicks made their shots, and sometimes that's all you need to do. Make or miss league, as they say. Knicks went 6 of 11 from the field. Crispy made 2 final free throws to ice the game, and the Knicks did not poop in their diapers. They pooped in the toilet, and it was good. All right, that's it for us for today's sode. Hope you enjoyed our instant breakdown of the Knicks' victory over the Los Angeles Lakers. They're now back over 500 at 14-11. If you get a few moments, rate us on iTunes, follow us on Twitter, and be chill to each other, all right? Join us tomorrow for another episode of Locked On Knicks, where we'll be joined by guest Zach DeLuzio of Posting and Toasting. He's going to break down some schematic things the Knicks are doing, what they're doing well, what they're doing poorly, what he wants them to do, and we'll talk about some other stuff too, all right? See you tomorrow. Peace!